At Raising Cane's, we have one love, quality chicken finger meals. And during our Peel the Love game, we're giving you a 1 in 3 chance to win our one love. Or collect game pieces to win the $100,000 grand prize for whatever you love. Whether you love a trip around the world or all the chicken fingers you could ever want, yeah, play Peel the Love today at Raising Cane's for your chance to win our one love. Or yours. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. No purchase necessary in February 26th. Official rules and details on free entry at RaisingCane's.com/Peel.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Catch Your Spirit with host Terry Ann Hyman, who is known for her teachings on tapping into the spirit. Join in and learn more about the energy of aligning with your deeper self. Tap into the intuitive energy of the angels, spirit guides, crystals, color, and light. Are you having trouble making decisions? Is your health acting up? Do you need a greater magnification of life to find your purpose? Call in for readings to catch your spirit, find your answers. Align with your highest vibration.
Well, hello, everyone. How are you today? Thank you so much for tuning in again to another episode of Catch Your Spirit. I'm your host, Terry Ann Hyman, and today's episode is Catch Your Spirit Through Spirit Recovery. So we'll be talking about the ways in which we have to look and find our spirit again and why it is that we lose it. So before we begin, we have a little housekeeping here, a little note. If you'd like to call in and ask a question or add a comment, you can call us at 347-996-5387, and if you'd like to offer a comment, just press *2 and that will raise your hand. I seem to forget to announce that, so right at the beginning we'll talk about that. We do have two guests today, a little surprise guest as well. Joining us will be Lee McCormick and Jenny Gentry. Both will talk about their experiences with spirit recovery as well as a film that they're involved with, Dreaming Heaven. So I'm very excited for them to be joining us. So last week we talked about really finding our purpose and tapping into that part of us that lives our life, that authentic part of us. We talked with Jeff from the Angel News Network. And funny enough, we were right before the full moon lunar eclipse. And today we sit right in the middle of another eclipse coming up on November 3rd, a solar eclipse. And we also have the Mercury retrograde. So we find ourselves in a very interesting cycle of time right now. Many of us can be upset about it, confused about it, distracted about it, but the truth is when we look at the energy that surrounds us before and after right now, the eclipses, they always give us an interesting turn on life. It's like a little surprise here and there. We can expect a wild card to come up if we're not really paying attention. But the truth is right now we can use this time to our advantage. We can use this time to go into ourselves, to really prepare for what is coming ahead. We can use it for a time to clean up, recycle, renew, rest, really clean out all the clutter so that we can focus on what it is that we are doing, what it is our spirit is calling us to do, as well as the energy. I know in November and December we have even more shifts coming ahead of us. So as we look at this energy for these next 2 weeks, one before and one after us, actually, the middle of where we're sitting right now, we can actually use it to go deeper within and renew and reclaim and recover the spirit. So I find it very interesting that we have had these conversations, the one last week and the one coming up today. So for me, spirit recovery has been many things. And I know as I go back and look at my own history, many of you know I went through a very tragic divorce back in the 90s that left me without my spirit, which brought me to my path. And one of the very first experiences that I had was that I had my hands blessed by some Mayan shaman. They were coming through New York on the way to the Eshelon out in California, and they were staying with some friends of mine at the time. And they came over to my house, and I was in the process of making some small little beaded bags, these little bags for Eileen Fisher stores with semi-precious stones. I was a beader. I'm a jewelry maker. And they were very intrigued by the bags. They're kind of like the little amulet bags or medicine bags. I was just making little jeweled bags, really, not really realizing what I had tapped into. But what they told me was that these bags were made with an ancient beading technique, a technique that they called the peyote stitch. And for me, it was just something that came natural. I think it's just something in my DNA, something that I channel in from my grandmothers and the Native American energy that I carry. But they were very intrigued with these little bags because of this stitch. And so they insisted on blessing my hands. At that time, I really wasn't even sure what they meant. But when shamans say they would like to offer you a blessing, I know not to argue. And, of course, I readily agreed. And so they did. They offered me a beautiful blessing on my hands. And then soon after that, I found myself up at the Omega Institute. That was back in the late 90s. The Omega Institute is up in Rhinebeck, New York, and at the time I was living in New York, only a few hours away. The Omega is an awesome institute for spiritual retreat. It offers programs, retreats. Just for me, it was just an opening and a way that I could begin to learn more about my path and find my spirit. So I was up there at a retreat, and I was taking a class with Don Miguel Ruiz, which is what we'll be talking about a little bit today, and he offered us a prayer, and that prayer is just something that was so beautiful, Circle of Fire prayer, and I thought it was perfect for us to be opening up this session today, this episode today. Funny enough, it kind of jumped right out of a journal of mine the other day, and I pulled it out, and it was like, wow, I had really forgotten about this, and I had forgotten about the importance that it had played in my life back in the 90s at a time that I was really, really searching. So I thought it would be a really beautiful way to begin today. So let's just do that wherever you are. If you could, just take a moment, close your eyes, just stopping everything, taking a nice deep breath in through the nose as we join all of our energies together, breathing in and exhaling out. And again, breathing in and exhaling out, letting go of everything. I know it's a Monday, so just letting go, just taking this moment to connect with your spirit wherever you are at this moment. The Circle of Fire prayer. Today is the day of the Lord when the divinity returns to us. When living our free will, and with all the power of our spirit, we decide to live our lives in free communion with God. We will live our lives with gratitude, love, loyalty, and justice, beginning with ourselves and continuing with our brothers and sisters. We will respect all creations as the symbol of our love communion with the one who created us to the eternal happiness of humanity. Aho. Inhaling and exhaling. And just coming back, opening your eyes, offering your own gratitude for this day and for all the many blessings that you have in your life. And so as we begin this program with spirit recovery, look a little bit at what that means. So to me, this is about that point when we get so far removed from our true self, from our spirit. So far removed that we seek ways to tap back in to, if you will, catch your spirit again. Sometimes what happens is that we put on so many masks. We build so many walls around who we really are. We hide so deep from ourselves as well as others that we don't even know who we are. We don't know our purpose in life or really where our spirit really is. For many, that can mean turning to outside sources such as drugs, alcohol, or so many other addictions that are out there, shopping, gambling, food, eating, all the many things that we do to avoid who we truly are. I know for me, it really wasn't so much that I was turning to addictions, but it was more about that I was so far from myself. I had just lost who I was. I had been given my power to somebody else, and not to myself. I was last of the list. And so we do that, and we keep searching outside of ourselves. But the key really is to pull back into yourself. The key is to find that part within you. Silence, getting quiet, going within, and finding that part within yourself and building it up little by little. I know for myself that's exactly what it was. First with a spiritual counselor. I mentioned that many episodes ago, working with Catherine, and how she helped me to tap back into that spirit. And I knew once I had a glimpse of it, I would be okay. But it wasn't magic. It was something that I had to really continually tap back into each and every day. And then it built upon itself. And so my spirit began to grow and grow and grow. And then we go through life. All right, and I kept growing and challenging myself and moving forward. And then there are other challenges that come up. Life is always changing. So I know also for me it was, you know, sometimes reconnecting with that spirit. I'd get so busy. I lived in New York. I was raising two small children. So, yeah, sometimes it can be hard to find that self again. We seem to lose it. We just kind of go off path, and if we don't come back to center, we keep going off and keep going off and keep going off. And again, we have to recover from where we are back into that part of us. So there are many ways that we can tap back into that spirit and recover it. And that's really what we're talking about today. For me, it's been many things, working with spiritual counseling, meditation, working with Reiki energy. All of these things have helped me to constantly and consistently tap back into my spirit. I know for me there was another troubled point. It was kind of the last couple of years of living in New York. My kids were in college, so paying for college, we all know, one, more not even talking about two, but two children in college is what I'm trying to say, was very, very taxing upon me. So trying to make everything meet, I was doing many, many things, working all the time. And I can remember there was a point when I was about to give up again. I felt like my faith was slipping a little bit, partly because I was running around so much trying to make all those ends meet and get my kids through college. And I remember then connecting with the Shinnecock Nation out in Southampton and began sitting in the lodges with them. For me, it was the elements. It was connecting with that fire, the earth, the air, and the pouring of the water, chanting my prayers, and really that intensity of really going deep. That's what it took for me, really going deep within myself, sweating it out, crying it out, and knowing, no, my faith wasn't gone. It just needed re-strengthening. I just needed to recover that part of me to come forward. So I know for many moons I sat with them each month, reconnecting with that part of me. And actually, that's how I met Lee McCormick. After I moved here in Birmingham, I really have not found that group here in Birmingham to connect through lodges and ceremonies. So I was searching, and through a series of incidences and people that I met, I found about Lee up in Nashville. He was holding lodges on his ranch up in Noonee, Tennessee, the Piney River Ranch. And so I was invited up to sit up there and join in with the lodge, and so I did. Not knowing anybody, I drove myself up there and met a great group of people and sat in Lee's lodge with many, many, many nations, many ways of doing it. He accepted all, which I really so much appreciate with my interfaith background. He just brought everybody in, no matter what faith, what religion, what songs they chanted, they were all accepted. And so I had a beautiful ceremony with him. And know again, too, that I had tapped back into a part of me that I needed. I'd been down in Birmingham now for 2 years, and we all go through searching. What is my purpose? What am I doing? So I know I had a little shift that day as well, which is why I asked Lee to be a guest on the show. I really did not know much about Lee at the time, but have since learned a whole much more about him, and actually about his movie, too, that was just coming out, Dreaming Heaven. So that's kind of where we are today. And our guest, which we're going to come on next with Jenny Gentry, she's going to talk a little bit about her part in spirit recovery and the movie as well. She is known as the Nagua Woman. Jenny became the female spiritual leader and guardian of the Toltec wisdom traditions in the 90s. While her teachings are anchored in a mastery of ancient Toltec wisdom, her great strength has been her ability to synthesize the universal truths of all sacred traditions and to approach and interpret these truths from the female perspective of the great mystery. Jenny's unique voice has inspired thousands of spiritual seekers to discover the modern-day relevance of the idea of awakening. She was the midwife of the New York Times bestseller book, The Four Agreements, by Don Miguel Ruiz, which served to introduce the public at large to the mystical yet practical teachings of the Toltec Way. She also has a best-selling book out herself, Dreaming Down Heaven, and it's also been met with rave critical reviews for an innovative book-within-a-book format she uses to tell the story of a young woman's sacred quest through the disappointments and trials of her life to the discovery of a magical book of wisdom that affords her a peek behind the curtains of what Jenny calls the magical theater of her life. From her home at the Garden of the Goddess, the spiritual retreat center she founded near Santa Fe, Mexico, New Mexico, Jenny continues to lead spiritual journeys to sacred sites around the world and conducts a lively schedule of workshops, lectures, media appearances, and personal residency intensives, as well as teaching via social media. Her deep commitment to revealing the love and outrageous joy that is our divine birthright has made Jenny a cultural treasure of the worldwide spiritual community. So I love it that Jenny brings in this female energy and this wisdom that she can share. So I'm going to bring Jenny on. Hi, Jenny, are you there?
Honey, I am. Hi, good morning.
Good morning. So happy that you've joined us. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. It was just delightful to sit here and listen to you and sort of marvel at some of the similarities of our journeys, you know?
Well, actually, as I was reading that, I thought, wow, this sounds like me too, because I have had many ups and downs. And, you know, the greatest is that I just keep returning to my spirit, Jenny. I really do. I just keep returning there.
Well, you know, an expression in, I guess you'd say, the tradition that I've been most closely aligned with, and the expression is the authentic self. It's the place where spirit is motivating us and to be unified with that part of us that is the truest, the most enduring, the eternal even. You know, it's like what makes the heart sing. It's delicious, you know? So
yeah.
Why not stay in the place of deliciousness?
Thank you. I appreciate that. Sometimes I feel like, oh, my gosh, here I am going off again. But then, yes, I come back, and it is what makes the heart sing. It really is. It makes what my life and purpose is all about.
Well, I
so
think
maybe
it's I'm sorry, honey. I keep interrupting you. You know,
no,
I think it's
okay.
Hard to really stay there all the time. There are so many places where our attention gets hooked. There's so much going on. If you turn on the television, you can be depressed for 2 days, you know? So I think it's hard to maintain the center, and yet the center is always there. So it isn't like it goes away. I mean, we come and go from it. It doesn't come and go from us. So the truth is it's always there, and that's, thank God, you know?
Well, yeah, actually, I appreciate that because, you know, as a spiritual healer and a teacher, sometimes I think that many of us think this, that, oh, we always have to be right on center. But I think, as you just said, that, yes, it is always hard to maintain that center, but having those tools to bring us back, right?
Yeah, well, you know, do you remember that old Buddhist thing about the guy walked down the road and he fell in a hole and it took forever for him to get out? The guy walked down the road, he fell in a hole, it took a long, long time to get out, and then he finally got out. Guy walked down the hole of the road, fell in the hole, got out. Guy walked down the road, walked around the hole, guy walked down a different road. I think, you know, it's like that for us. We do it until we don't do it. And one of the ways that we do it faster is not to judge ourselves along the way. Just go, okay, okay, okay. And then you don't have to deal with the judgment, like inflicting more pain. It's just a habit. You know, we've been indoctrinated into so many fear-based habits. Everything around us is supporting the fear-based habit. So for us to break, we have to break really with, gosh, almost the whole idea that reality has been described to us. So I think that, you know, how you described it is really the truth of the way out. Is like we do it and we get off track and we do it again. No harm, no foul. We just do it faster and faster each time.
Very true. Very true. So, Jenny, maybe you could tell us a little bit of your experiences with spirit recovery and what led you to your work.
Well, you know, I've been teaching in the Toltec tradition for many, many years. I'd have to get out my fingers and toes to tell you how many, but, you know, sometime in the 90s I started teaching. And Lee came to the Toltec world on his way out of recovery. And it, I think it became the cornerstone. And what he saw was that all of us are in a place of spirit recovery. So yes, it had, you know, a whole lot, I shouldn't be talking for Lee, but it had a whole lot to do with recovery. But the truth is, all of us are in a place of recovery. So Lee came in and sort of melded, you know, the tradition that I had been teaching, or aspects of it, you know, like the higher aspects of it. And we began to do some things, oh gosh, probably 10 or 12 years ago. And so what has happened is over time, you know, we've done some, you know, we teach separately. Lee, you know, had a recovery center and so forth. I have a retreat center. But we've come together to lead these journeys to Teotihuacan, and which is an amazing place of power and a sort of wisdom, we could say, in Mexico. And he's brought the very practical elements of how one actually recovers their connection, recovers and maintains their connection. It doesn't matter what you're calling it. It doesn't matter whether, you know, what your spiritual tradition is, that if you want to hold to that, because it's really teaching a way of life. So we came together and off and on over the years, and especially recently, we've been leading these journeys to Teotihuacan, which is a place where you could say that the ascending levels of consciousness are energetically mapped out. So in coming together and having the male and female perspective, you know, bringing people in to give them a dose, if you will, of the truth of who they are, an experience, to re-experience their magnificence. So, you know, we certainly do workshops. Lee does the sweats. You know, I do intensives for women. But, you know, it's all coupled around the same thing, that we have a choice. We have a choice not to play in fear. We have a choice to experience life from beauty, from really this impeccable relationship with the vastness. So I don't know if that answers your question. But we came together to do the movie six years ago, maybe. I'm not really sure. And we decided that what we really wanted to do was give folks that couldn't go to Teotihuacan or couldn't go out and do some of these things, we wanted them to have an experience as best we could capture on film. And so we actually filmed a journey. And you know, the different participants and where they were at different places in the journey. And then we put it together with a book. And the book was a way for folks to really do an in-depth study at home or to put a group together that would allow them not just to sort of yearn for the experience, but to create the experience on their own. And that's Dreaming Heaven, that film you were just talking about. So it came out a couple of months ago on Hay House. It's so great to be taking this gift out into the world, and delighted to have, you know, the support and the opportunity from folks like you to talk about it and let people know that there are things that they can be doing, that they can do at home. They can come to Teo with us. They can do whatever they want, but there's a place where they can have an experience of the energy that we captured on film.
It's just awesome, Jenny. I watched the movie, and actually I didn't watch it all at once. I took it in parts because when I ordered it off of Hay House or Amazon, wherever I got it, Hay House I guess it was, it comes with a book and the DVDs in the back, and so I took my time with it, and I went through the chapters of it, and I really appreciated it, and it was coming right out of that first lodge I had talked about with Lee. So for me, I just kind of let it all settle in, soaked it up. And years ago, I had read The Sorcerer's Crossing, and some of it reminded me of that and just the experiences I had with that book as well. So it rekindled that as well. But I love the DVD, the film, and just seeing those plazas, the pyramids, it was just awesome. For some reason, gold, the color gold kept standing out in my mind, just so powerful each one of them was. And then the participants going through, there was something that I could relate to with each of them going through there, you know, wanting me to be there as well. But I did want to share this one quote. I have several bookmarked in my book I'm looking at now, but it was in the Plaza of Fire. I guess it was week 7, it says, and Albert Schweitzer is the quote who you're quoting from. But in everyone's life, at some time, our inner fire goes out. It is then burst into flame by an encounter with another human being. We should all be thankful for those people who rekindle the inner spirit. And I love that quote because sometimes we have to reach out and we have to seek help to help us get back to that part of us. Not that we have to depend on them, but to reach out and appreciate those teachers that are around us. And I think that's how, you know, you and Lee and the others, there were a couple more involved. Franco Rico, right? He was involved as well.
Yes.
But I think that's such a valuable place to be.
Well, you know, we learned a particular version of reality that we can sort of think of as a shared version of reality. And it was really dualistic, good, bad, right, wrong, fear. But fear was really the predominant characteristic of it. And, excuse me, I've got a cold. Just give me a second here. I'm so sorry to cough on you, honey.
Okay.
I just completely lost my train of thought.
You were talking about fear, which is predominant right now. I mean, we all are living in so much fear with the news and the Obamacare and the government.
Here's the thing. How do we get out of it? You know, the advantage, if you could say, to having a guide, I'm sure you remember from your own experience, is we haven't had all of the wisdom given to us on how to get out of, you know, a fear-based reality. So obviously, if someone has gotten out, they can sort of point out the mud holes. You know, you can at least describe the terrain. You know, I have found that one of the things I do best with my students is describe my own journey.
Yeah.
So the other thing is to get a clear mirror. You know, in Schweitzer's quote, he says, another human can activate it in you. And really what gets activated is the mirror of the other human. If you have someone who's really dedicated to being impeccable, dedicated to really sharing the love, what it does is it helps you remember that you are that also. You know, we're nothing if not the same. You know, all the ways that all those people, you know, from the fellow that thought he had all the answers to the smart aleck to the, you know, the crying person, I've been all those people. And against all odds, because I was such a little black sheep, against all odds, I went ahead and woke up anyway because I didn't stop. I just kept going. So the advantage of a teacher is you don't have to make all the mistakes. You can learn from someone else's process. But if you want to go ahead and make them all, maybe they can give you a hand out of the hole in the road, you know, help you see that it really isn't who you are, help you move out of the judgments about it. You know, the judgment is our biggest stumbling block. Is, you know, we can hardly move for our own judgments. And a great teacher will help you go, goodness, that's okay, I'm learning. So yeah. That's my thought of it, or my experience of it, I should
say. Well, I love that, too, because I agree that what is in me is in you, and what is in you is in me, and when we can mirror each other and help them find that way, I think that's just so important. And I think that we judge ourselves because we're judging others. Oh, look at them, and then we have to look back at us. And then, okay, but letting go of that judgment and really returning to that point where, who am I? What am I doing?
Yes.
And finding that
yes.
spirit within us. And I think with the participants in your journey, I think they were able to do that at all the many different levels that you guys guided them through. Did you have a favorite plaza? Did you have a favorite area there?
I've been to Tao maybe 80 times. You know, I go 3 or 4 times a year typically. And at different times, different plazas have been so profoundly important for me because of what I was going through at the time. It's like removing the layers of the onion. And, you know, what's up and really calling for your attention gets highlighted at different times in your own unfolding. So the truth is there's a plaza at the very beginning that we call hell. And the plaza is basically the place of both great potential. It's really called the Plaza of Quetzalcoatl. And it's the Plaza of Great Potential, and it's the Plaza of Hell because we have left so much of our potential in our suffering, you know, in our fear-based beliefs. And so to be able to go in there and really work with letting go of the fear-based beliefs, really work with letting go of our illusions of safety, which, you know, are our familiar beliefs. You know, that one, to me, is, like, so important. Making peace with the emotional body, letting the mind, you know, the idea of the dominion of what we know be replaced by what we believe. When we believe, when we move our fear-based thoughts into thoughts based on acceptance and kindness and generosity. So it's so funny, isn't it? My favorite plaza is hell, but my favorite plaza is really the plaza of potential, the plaza of who we really are.
I love that you said that we sometimes leave so much of our potential back because we've surrounded ourselves with fear. So many times we tend to then give up. We forget that we had so much of this potential with our ideas or our purpose, and we get so judgmental on it is, or somebody criticizes us, or somebody else's judgment comes on us, and then we forget that we have all that potential. So I like that you bring that to the front and know that there is that part that we can go back and reclaim that potential. You know, many times we just say, oh, well, forget it, you know?
You know, it's like the potential is still there. The truth of who we are really is still there. It's just been sort of covered, if you will, with fear-based beliefs. And and the fear-based beliefs sort of dictate our daily responses in the world. But by coming and taking the action to undo them, it isn't like we have to go learn to become something else outside of us. It's removing the fear that has encapsulated the truth of who we are. It's there. It's our legacy. It's our birthright. Mm-hmm. The perfection of us is with us. Mm-hmm. It's just That's surrounded by these layers of fear. So mm-hmm. as we remove layers, more of the truth of us, the eternal nature, the eternal nature of us is revealed.
Yeah. And those illusions of safety as well. We all tend to think that safety is one thing, when in many cases, I know for myself, in many cases, it's what's blocking me. You know, I think, this is safe, I'll stay here, but yet that's the very thing that keeps me from getting to where I need to be because
honey,
of the fear.
We've confused safe with familiar.
Right.
We think it's safe because it's familiar.
Right.
Gosh, that's just not what's true, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I wanted to share one more quote, Jenny, and I know that you've got a lot going on, but this one is from the Plaza of Earth, and Ann Cushman is who we're quoting from here. It says, "Nothing really dies," I told him. "It just turns into something else. Everything is always changing form. Do you remember the pumpkin that rotted into the earth in your garden? Tomatoes sprouted where it used to be. This bird will go back to the earth and turn into lavender flowers and butterflies. So I love this quote because it reminds us that everything is always changing. And when we go back, as we were just saying, we go back and re-tap into that potential, back into that self of who we are. Know that that is the part of life that is always, always changing. Yeah.
You know, we have the potential at any given time because everything is always dying. Everything is always being reborn. You know, it's just what it is. It's a place of evolving. It's a place of evolution. It's a place of, you know, it's like the phoenix. You have to die to an idea, die to a concept. And in that dying, get to be reborn. Each death is a rebirth, my love.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that helps. It helps me to remember that when I feel lost or when my path is changing, that it's only natural. So I take the essence of who I am. I go back into myself, and then I just start to transform it. I mean, energy can never be destroyed, right? We all know that. It can only be transformed. So we begin to transform this process. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So trying to think of another question or two here. I mean, in your movie, Dreaming Heaven, is it out yet? Is it coming into private areas? I know I ordered it offline. I know that I saw Lee posted something about some of the Unity churches.
You know, it's coming forward in a lot of different ways. We have certainly people are asking for screenings in their areas. We are, you know, working out some showings with some of the Unity churches. All of that is still in a place of becoming because we've just really started, you know, the process. Of course, people can order it through Amazon, through Hay House. They can go to their independent bookstore and ask them to order it for them. You know, if we do that, then we keep the independent bookstores alive.
Yeah.
But if people want to watch it in an audience, you know, there'll be things. You can go to your church, your community center. Someone can actually, host it with their community. Or they can do it themselves. You know, we have given instructions in the book on how to begin to hold groups, where you can discuss these things. They can come to Teo with us. You know, we're going again over New Year's to share the love, to get back into it's like getting out of our spiritual amnesia, the antidote for our own spiritual amnesia. And, there are many ways that it's coming forward. And, gosh, I don't – my crystal ball needs dusting, so I'm not sure all the ways it's going to happen. But there's a lot of miracles and great energy associated with this. And so I'm excited to see what destiny has for us.
Yeah, it's been very exciting unfolding and just watching it myself and going through the experiences. And, yes, you do have another journey that you're doing. It's over New Year's. I believe it is December 28th through
yes.
January 3rd or 4th or something. And
second, I think. You know, sometimes something like a New Year is just a perfect time to really draw the line in the sand, to really move past some of those limiting ideas, fears, beliefs that have, you know, kept us in some layer of suffering. You know, the thing that's odd about fear is it has become so familiar we don't even recognize that we make so many of our decisions based on a fear-based thought. And so, you know, when you bring them out, when you call them forward, what happens is there's a whole new series of possibilities that comes with that. You get to see... you know, I was talking to one of my students yesterday, and I said, well, goodness, did you see this? And it was like, well, gosh, no. It was sitting in the blind spot. when these guys, these fear-based beliefs come out of the blind spot, they're no longer out of our dominion. But they're unusual. You know, it's so unusual when we see how much of the societal agreed-upon beliefs were based in fear when there's a whole nother possibility waiting for us. Mm. So, you know, yeah. in the movie On the Journeys, what we really do is help remove those obstacles, which are blind spots. You know, we sort of shine the light in, if you will. Tao is a great repository of light. It's a great repository of information, of possibility. It is the repository. It is not the information, if that makes sense to you.
Oh, it does make sense, yeah.
So
that holder of light, yeah.
Yes, so it it helps us to, you know, these little dark fears that stay in the shadow that we don't even recognize they're there. They're calling the shots, and we're so afraid to go into the shadow. We're so afraid to go see who we really are, as if we would be some, what would you say, some exception, you know, to a birthright of innate wholeness. Mm-hmm. We think that maybe that applies to others, but not us.
Right.
And yet, you know, as the planet is going through all of its changes, and the folks on the planet are going through, so fear has sort of like thrown down the gauntlet, you know, like, you'll not take me away. And yet the masses of, you know, people that are starting to really say, no, I want the light. No, fear, I don't believe you anymore. You're a liar.
It is happening. It really is. Yes, it really is. Yeah. Well, Jenny, Lee is on the line. I don't know if you want to stay on with us or if you have to go, but I definitely thank you so much. And you can be found at www.jennygentry.com. So I thank you so much. Would you like to stay on? You can. I'm going to bring Lee on. Let him,
you know, honey, I'm going to go deal with my cold.
Okay. Yes,
and
we'll
all my
later.
Love to you and to Lee and the folks out there that are listening to us.
Thank you so much for calling in, and I really appreciate your time. Do feel better, and good luck with the movie. And I definitely want to join you guys one of these days very soon. Thank you, Jenny, so much.
Okay, sweetie. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So I am – thank you. That was really great. So I am going to bring Lee on. Lee, very interesting. I just met him recently. He has a really full, wonderful life, born into a tribe of movers and shakers, as it says here. He's the founder of the Integrative Life Center in Nashville, the Ranch Recovery Center in Tennessee, and the Canyon Treatment Center in Malibu. He's been a creative force in the mental health and recovery scene for over 15 years. He founded Spirit Recovery, Inc. to produce healing and recovery conferences and spiritual journeys around the world. He's also a founder of Nashville's Integrative Life Center and the Community Recovery Program in Nashville, Tennessee. He has been instrumental in helping many people recover from addictions through his own journey. As I mentioned earlier, I met him up in Tennessee through a wonderful lodge ceremony where I know I tapped back into a part of my spirit and found out more about what his work is doing, which has led us here today. So I'm going to bring Lee on. Oh, actually, I can't not mention Lee's wife, who I've also just recently been following, too. Me, Tracy McCormick, an acclaimed author of My Kitchen Cure. Food has been a very prominent force in my life, so I wanted to give her a shout-out as well. So I'm going to bring Lee on and let him talk a little bit about his experiences as well and how he got here. Lee, are you there?
I'm here, Terry. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I really am. What a wonderful conversation we've been having with Jenny. So how are you today? I know you're busy. You're all over, aren't you?
Well, yeah, I am. I'm in Los Angeles right now. So.
Okay.
But I'm sitting here looking at the ocean, and the bougainvilleas are blooming, and the clouds are rolling, and, you know, I'm like, okay, it's dreaming heaven is not a difficult task from this vantage point.
Well, that's just awesome. So, Lee, I know you've, from what I've read and learned, you've had a very interesting life yourself, and not always easy. But
well, no, I wouldn't have it always be easy, you know. We Well, what we inherit is the story, I think, largely of how tough and hard and difficult life is. And so, you know, I had to live that script until I realized I didn't have to live that script anymore.
Very good, yeah.
Yeah.
So through your own work and through your own recovery has led you to help many more people. And I guess that's what led you to Teotihuacana and your work there. Can you share a little bit about that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, when I went to treatment, to addiction treatment 16 years ago, the story that I was told about being a recovering person was, it just didn't feel, it didn't feel right to me. I don't, it's difficult to know, to say how to put it, but it felt like one more time I was being told what I had to do in order to be good enough. Mm-hmm. And the new good enough was, of course, you know, drug-free. And it's not that it was, that the point of view I was offered was not good enough. It's that the way it felt limiting again. And there was something deep inside me that realized that what I needed to connect with was this really deep-seated feeling that something was missing. And in the awareness of that, I realized, I think at the same time, was that that feeling had been with me all my life, that there was something missing, some disconnection somewhere. And so I couldn't just settle into the diagnosis, disease-based perspective on what recovery was about. So I started reaching out and doing all kinds of things. I had opportunities to go to Native American sweat lodges with a man who is now my Navajo Diné brother, lives in Arizona. And I started going to Course in Miracles groups, and I started going to yoga classes. And, I mean, I was a cowboy living on a ranch, raising cattle in Tennessee and South Florida. I had a lot of stuff going on. And I just really started to expand my reality and open myself up, because I realized on a level that what I was searching for clearly had to be outside of what I had experienced. And it was outside of the quote-unquote norm. And so that led me to read at one point The Four Agreements, and that book resonated with me in a big way. And I went deeper into that and found that there were teachers leading journeys to Teotihuacan that had been trained by Miguel Ruiz, the author of The Four Agreements. So I signed up for one of those journeys and went for it, and flew to Mexico City and met a group of people I'd never seen before in the airport, and got in a van and drove out to the pyramids, to a little hotel that's at the edge of the pyramids, and just walked right into probably the singular most powerful experience I've ever had in my life. And that, you know, that was it, and it's never stopped from that point on. It was like I made that connection. I didn't understand it. It certainly wasn't all clear. And at the same time, if you could say energetically or intuitively, I found a feeling, a sense of oh my God, this will get me there. This will bring me back to what it is I've been missing.
And that was the reconnection, the recovery. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And so, you know, and then you fast forward that 15 years. Years of going on journeys with teachers as a student, as an apprentice, and then 5 or 6 years into that timeline, I began to co-lead journeys with some of the teachers. Jenny was one of them. You know, that's part of the tradition, is that when you take on students or apprentices, as they're called sometimes, as you work with them and guide them and help them rediscover their own authenticity, there comes a point fairly early on, actually, where the ones who are so inclined, you just throw them into teaching also, because one of the greatest ways to learn is to try and teach.
Mm-hmm.
And you you know, it really brings us face to face with our source of information and where, you know, why am I giving the answers I'm given and what is it that I really think I know. And so it's a real reality check. To move from student to teacher was a real reality check. And so Dreaming Heaven, the film, was the result of just a meeting with a guy who's a good friend of mine now named Dana Walden, that he was a mutual friend of Jenny's and mine. And Dana was a cameraman and is a very accomplished musician and producer and songwriter. But he was interested in filming one of the journeys just to see what it might look like, you know, kind of a elaborate home movie. And we said, sure, let's try it. And we did. And then it took on a life of its own and led to the book being written and the meditations being recorded. And now Dreaming Heaven is literally an entire experience in the form of a book, a film, meditations, and a soundtrack.
The soundtrack, which you had a lot to do, too. You're also a really gifted singer-songwriter, too. I was noticing that and listening to the music. Got one of your CDs as well. But I agree with you. It's a complete experience. I think I mentioned that I had I didn't just watch it, the movie, all in one sitting. I took my time with it, and I went through the book with it. And there were really points when, you know, even my dreams, I was as if I was really there. And so I could appreciate that so much about how you put it all together, because you can take that journey and learn about yourself. I think that is so important, that we can stop and find the time and get quiet with ourselves. But I think you guys did an awesome job. The scenery is just beautiful. The colors really popped. For some reason, the golds of the plaza just kept jumping right out at me. I think I asked Jenny this. Did you have a favorite plaza there? Was there one that was to you that really resonated more than the other? And we talked about a couple of them earlier.
Oh, gosh, you know, I love that place like you love your family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the altar in front of the moon where we do that ceremony where Chris, the scenes where Chris just goes completely out into another realm, you know, that altar in that ceremony is a favorite space of mine. And also there's a place called Tetitla that's not in that film. Tetitla is the space where the priests, the masters, would go to Tetitla at the time of their death when they were getting ready to leave their body, because they knew when they were going to leave their body. It's where they transitioned from this dimension into the other realms, the other dimensions. And those doorways are, the veil is so thin and those doorways are so open that literally you can have the experience of moving into other realms, literally, into Tetitla. And that's a favorite place of mine. But I just, you know, it takes all of it.
Mm.
All of it together makes the presence that's embodied in Teotihuacan. And that translated through the film. It's in the light of that movie. People, we screened the film here in California last week. And there were 200 people in the screening, and when the film was over, everyone in the room was just sitting there.
Yeah.
You know, and they, like, it was a big screen, you know. So the larger the screen, it seems, the more powerful the film is. And people just stopped and said, "Oh, I was just totally on that journey."
Yeah. Is it possible for, or do you do mentorships as well? I mean, beyond taking on the journey, do you do private mentoring, or is it really just the journeys that you're connecting with people?
You know, Jenny does a lot of one-on-one work.
Okay.
Jenny takes apprentices and works with people. I'm literally so busy doing the things that I do that I just really don't have the time. If people have questions,
mm-hmm.
or people have a particular something that they would like to talk about, you know, I'm available for that.
Okay.
And I just can't give justice and the continuous attention to taking on apprentices at this point, because I'm so busy running around creating other stuff.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. So, and we mentioned that your next journey is December 28th. That's coming
it
up.
Is.
Those that are
December
interested.
20, yeah, December 28th to January 2nd. And you know what? New Year's and the holidays is just a it's a killer cool time to go to Mexico. The food is amazing. All of the food at our dreaming house is fresh. We'll have mariachis. We'll have Aztec dancers. We're going to go up into some caves to do some ceremonies. It's just Mexico. The heart of Mexico is so great and so sweet. And to be there in the holidays is just a gift.
Mm. So the website to find more about this, is this dreamingheaven.com?
Dreamingheaven.net.
Dreamingheaven.net. So if listeners, if you're interested in finding out more, I know I am. I have one little conflict on the 28th, but I've been thinking about it. But if you are and want to know more about it, dreamingheaven.net. Lee, thank you so much for joining us today. I know you're extremely busy. Good luck with this. I'm going to look around here in Birmingham as well and see where we can get it to come there or perhaps do something as well. I love it. I think it needs to be out there so much. Good luck with it.
Well, you know, I'll be there in a heartbeat. All you got to do is just stay in touch with me. And the book and the book is also available at Barnes & Noble, and it's available on Amazon.
Okay, yep, and local bookstores as well. Yeah, I think I'll reach out to the local Unity here and see what they have to say, see what we can do to bring it down here. But other than that, I hope to see you at your next lodge coming up. And thank you so much for being a guest. I really appreciate it. I know you're quite busy.
Oh, you're super welcome, Terry. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. You have a great day. Tell me hello. I love her cookbook. I have to get her on here next. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll do it. I'll get
definitely.
Her to you.
Yes, definitely. Thank you. All right, Lee, I'll see you soon. Much love to you, and good luck with the movie and all, and your music. I love it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, sweetie. All right, bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, so what another wonderful episode talking about how the many ways that we can go about reconnecting with our spirit and that, yes, it is okay if sometimes we lose it when we have to reconnect. It's not always perfect. Life is always changing, and coming back and reconnecting with that pure potentiality of who we really are is really so important. I know through all the trials and tribulations of my life, I've had to come back over and over. But each time it is with greater force, and each time I find more strength to live my purpose and to really get out there. I know I have a gift as well as you. We all have gifts in life, and knowing that we can tap back in and really shine our light and live our purpose is what this time is about right now on Earth. So I offer you that opportunity. So definitely check out dreamingheaven.net for more information about this and ways that you can recover your spirit and tap back in. So thank you for that today. We'll be back on November 11th. We have a really great guest, too. We'll be talking to Dr. Romali Mushtaq, who is a mind-body medicine physician, neurologist, and yoga meditation teacher. We're going to be discussing how medicine meets mindfulness. That's on November 11th. And then on November 25th, we're going to be talking about intuition, all the clairvoyance, clairessence, clairsentience, claircognizance. And we'll be offering on this particular episode on the 25th free readings. We'll have you call in, and we'll be doing some readings on air. So once again, I thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much to Lee McCormick and Jenny Gentry for sharing their experiences in Teo, Mexico, and their Dreaming Heaven movie. Look for it in a local bookstore. Look for a screening coming to your area. If you're interested in creating a screening, please give them a call. It's such an important message that we all need to get out into the world, especially with all this fear going on. So drop the fear, tap into your spirit, and know that you too can make a difference. So thank you again. Taking a nice deep breath in. Exhaling out, feeling that spirit around you, within you, that is your gift, your light. Shine that light. Let go of the fear. Trust your purpose. This is your host, Terry Hyman. I can be found at naturalforcesstudio.com. See you again on the next episode of Catch Your Spirit. Have a really great day. Namaste. Mm-hmm.
At Raising Cane's, we have one love, quality chicken finger meals. And during our Peel the Love game, we're giving you a 1 in 3 chance to win our one love. Or collect game pieces to win the $100,000 grand prize for whatever you love. Whether you love a trip around the world or all the chicken fingers you could ever want, yeah. Play Peel the Love today at Raising Cane's for your chance to win our one love. Or yours. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. No purchase necessary. In February 26th, official rules and details on free entry at RaisingCane's.com/Peel. At Raising Cane's, we have one love, quality chicken finger meals. And during our Peel the Love game, we're giving you a 1 in 3 chance to win our one love. Or collect game pieces to win the $100,000 grand prize for whatever you love. Whether you love a trip around the world or all the chicken fingers you could ever want, yeah. Play Peel the Love today at Raising Cane's for your chance to win our one love. Or yours. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. No purchase necessary. In February 26th, official rules and details on free entry at RaisingCane's.com/Peel.